We're going to continue our NASCAR Camping World Truck Series post-race media availabilities. We're joined now by the 2018 NASCAR Camping World Truck Series champion, driver Brett Moffitt. Throw a couple facts out here before we go to question. Brett, you're the first Iowa native to win the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series championship. Finished the 2018 season with 6 wins and 13 top fives. And during the playoffs, of course, you posted 2 wins back-to-back at ISM Raceway here at Homestead and 5 top five finishes. First, congratulations on the championship. And before we open it up to questions of these guys, tell us how it feels.
Pretty good. I don't know. I don't think it's sunk in yet. I have a lot of friends, family here, and just the effort that HRE put in all year, and Scott and these guys when we didn't even know if we were going to make it to the track, and then we show up that week and win the race at Chicago, and just everything we've been through. I don't think everyone understands when we say we have 9 or 10 full-time employees. That's the last 3 to 5 weeks they've been working 7 days a week and work until midnight if need be. More times than not, they were doing that, and it's just a testament to them. It's really I'm fortunate to drive the truck, but those guys, they kill it. I mean, it's an honor to drive for them.
We're also joined by our 2018 NASCAR Camping World Truck Series Crew Chief Champion Scott Zippidelli. This is Scott, your first career NASCAR Camping World Truck Series championship. Your previous best championship finish was 7th with driver Ben Kennedy in 2016. And we're joined by our NASCAR Camping World Truck Series owner champion, Shigeaki Hattori. Your first NASCAR Camping World Truck Series championship. You become the 15th different owner champion in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. And the first from Japan. Gentlemen, to both of you, congratulations. And I'll go to Scott first. Scott, you did it. How's it feel?
It's like Brett said, it's kind of amazing, really. It feels good. Going into this race, everybody asked me, are you nervous? Are you nervous? Nope, we're not nervous. We're really not even supposed to be here. We've exceeded all expectations from all of our peers and competitors. But with saying that, we had all the confidence that we could do it, and we did it with people, not stuff or a big budget like some of the teams that we race with, you know, out budget us. But we did it with people and heart. And like Brett said, these guys worked. I mean, I've had to kick them out of the shop at 1 o'clock in the morning in the past week because I was exhausted. Starting at 5:30 and 5:30 in the morning, and we'd, you know, leave the shop at midnight, and everybody's happy. Who's happy working that long hours? And they want this. And it's been an amazing journey. It's taught us a lot about ourselves and what you could do if you really focus on the right things. And, you know, with Brett, I did an amazing job all season driving the truck. We work very well together. And, you know, working for Shiggy is a joy, really. I'm very happy for all of our employees and their families that have sacrificed a lot to get here.
Well, Shiggy, you're at the pinnacle. You've reached the mountaintop. It's got to feel pretty good for you.
Well, it takes a long time since I started my own team. It was 2008, and I mentioned Brett. We missed K&N Championship. It was 2012, and we were leading last lap, so then we missed it. But today, yeah, we did. And it's again, we're a so small team, but everybody did great job, and I'm so happy all teams and all team members and all team families. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Well, let's open it up to questions for our championship team. We'll start over here to the right with Bob Pockris, then come up front here to Jerry.
Bob Pockris, ESPN. Brett, going into this race, not knowing what your future holds, did your mind wander into, like, gosh, this could be a career moment? Gosh, if I can win this race, it'll help me land rides in the future? Or did you try to kind of stay in the moment itself?
I'd say a little bit of both. I thought about it, and the only reason I thought about it is because even if I win it, I'm still not guaranteed a job next year, but at least I can say that I won it. So that's really all it extends to is, you know, we've worked really hard all year, and I wanted to win it not only for myself, but everybody involved. We had so many different partners this year that have really helped us along the way and helped us get to this point. So, you know, I put pressure on myself to win it so that no matter what happens in the future, at least I can say I won it.
We'll come up front to Jerry and then to Holly.
Jerry Jordan, KickingTheTires.net and Performance Racing Network. Shiggy, it's about 1 p.m. in Tokyo right now. Any phone calls? Any congratulations? What's been the message from all the supporters overseas that make this happen for you guys?
Well, as soon as we finish the race today, I got about maybe a 20 text message and a phone call, and you know, the president, Icing, and chairman, they called. You know, it's not a broadcasting over in Japan, but they are checking maybe a website and scoring. So and then they are so excited.
And Brett, you gonna keep the mustache with the wind?
No, it's gone.
No.
We'll see. We'll see what the ladies say.
We're gonna stay up front here to Holly.
It's a very nice mustache.
That just contradicted everything you said.
Well, I know, but I had the microphone now. For both of you, you just alluded to this. Coming so close to winning that first championship and losing it on the last lap, and then this year you've won a couple of your races on the last lap. It's been certainly a thrilling combination. If you guys could just kind of talk about that.
I would say the majority of it is Shiggy has just built such a better race team than we had back then. And not to put anyone down, but the people he has in place now, with everyone from Mike Krejci to Scott Zeppidelli and everyone through the company, is so much stronger that a lot of the races we battle back from adversity and still win or still run up front. And as long as I feel like pretty much except Kentucky this year, we showed up to every race, and if we executed it how we needed to, we could have won the race. And if we didn't, then we ran poorly, I guess. But as far as speed goes and the people on the team, we could battle back from anything. It didn't matter if we got set back on a pit stop or in traffic, and we would always end up front. So I think a lot of our wins, or a couple of our wins, we could have had a more dominating performance. It just so happened that it worked out to be a last lap deal. I feel like last week at Phoenix, once we got to the lead, we probably could have led majority of the race. But it works out how it works out, and I was a dumbass and sped on pit road, and thankfully we got it back.
We'll stay right here in the middle.
Justin Malillo, the Racing Experts. Brett, this season, drivers such as Ryan Preece and Ross Chastain got a chance to make a name for themselves in top equipment in the Xfinity Series. Tonight, you've gone a step further, and you took a team that almost didn't make all the races this season to the title. With all that said, how much confidence do you, as the 2018 Truck Champion and the 2015 Rookie of the Year in Cup Series, have moving forward in your NASCAR career, where it seems that talent might be getting a better look advancing through the ranks?
You really worded that well. I saw you reading.
You had to write that one down, huh? I'm confident in my ability. I'm confident that if I get the right opportunity, I can go win Xfinity championships and Cup championships. You know, it's I've spent most of my career in non-race winning equipment, and as soon as I got in race winning equipment with Scott and Shiggy, we won a championship. So I'm 100% confident in my ability. Just need the right opportunity.
We're going to go over here to Chris, then Matt Weaver, then Bob, and then we'll go back over here to the left.
Matt's going to ask about the engine. It's coming.
I was waiting for you to do
Chris,
it.
Chris, I catch fence.
I knew you were going to do it. Shiggy, 20 years ago, you won your first IndyCar Lights race here at Homestead. Tonight, you're crowned a 2018 NASCAR Camping World Truck Series owner champion. Which one is more sweeter?
Well, it was a long time ago. You know, this place, I have good memories. But today, I talked to Scott. Normally, I was so nervous we were leading, but today, I was so confident. And don't catch up to our truck, you know. And last 10 laps, and I was thinking, same as when I won here Indy Light, and this place is so red. I have so good memories.
And Brett, how long does the party go for?
Till we get kicked out of the DO lot tonight.
We'll go up front here to Matt Weaver.
Matt Weaver with Auto Week. I've got actually one for each of you. For Shiggy, you've done something that a lot of smaller teams are trying to do right now, too, to try to build not only a team into a winner, but you've built them into a champion with, I believe, 9 or 10 full-time employees. What's the secret? How do you put together something to this scale, such a small operation?
Well, nothing secret. And, you know, definitely, you know, money part, you know, big part of car racing, but it's not only money. And even if we spend $10 million, and you know, if we spend the wrong part and it doesn't happen, and I think this sport definitely people sport, and we have a good small group, but we have good people and good team manager and good crew chief and good driver and good mechanics, and then all, you know, one package. I think that's today, the, you know, our hard work paid off, and you know, crew chief working almost 12 hours a day, and you know, then I really push myself. Okay, we need find more money. So that's definitely one group.
Thank you. For Brett, I feel like all season long it's been a series of excuses from other teams, in the sense that when you won Atlanta, people had said, oh, well, it's because Kyle had his misfortune late in the race, and then it turned into the engine story, and then you've won 6 races, and now you're here. Was there a part of you that went into this weekend thinking, you know, there's no way I can't win this championship, to allow them to have that sentiment?
Yeah. You know, as the season went on, it didn't bother us, but it was more and more of a joke what they were complaining about. You know, the rules changes hurt us, and we still won Phoenix. And then the guy that runs 7th decided to complain about it when he got beat by 6 other Ilmor or 5 other Ilmor motors. And we had Ilmor in it tonight, and I don't know where he finished, but he didn't beat us. So I don't know what his excuse is now.
Very similar question for Scott. I mean, same thing. I mean, you've said all along that it's not the engine that was winning. It was your trucks, your team, your driver. Does this validate that stance?
Who won? Who won the championship? Like I said last week when we had this conversation, I would love to stir the pot because it's fun. But I'm really not that kind of a guy. But I'm confident they just got beat by a better team right now. We have focused on our own program and not anybody else's program. every one of our employees has their head down working on the plan that, we have. And they're not worried about what KBM's doing or what GMS is doing and who's running what oil. And that we have just laid a blueprint out to what works for us. And it's worked all year. Were we forced to go to the change the engine to come here? Yes, we had to.
Actually, a follow-up to Shiggy's point, talking about people, do you believe that it's possible for any team, any sort of budget, any sort of size, to be able to do what you guys have done, as long as you have the right driver, the right crew chief, the right package?
Absolutely. I've worked for teams that we've had, when I worked for Turner Scott, and I had more people and more resources, and I had a full fab shop, chassis shop, fab shop, you name it. We didn't have the level of details that we have today because there's two of us in the fab shop, myself and one other guy. And it's sometimes bigger isn't always better. When you have a three-truck team or a two-truck team, there's a lot of, you get animosity between trucks or teams, and you've got a lot of drama or distractions going on in the company. We just focus on what our program is and what our goals are. And I mean, we've gotten better throughout the season. This truck we've raced at Vegas, and honestly, we didn't run that great in Vegas. We almost won Vegas, but we were probably a fifth place truck maybe. But we cut it up. We cut it up for the past 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and we worked long nights, and everybody had a smile on their face, and they had their heads down, and they wanted to do this. So this is just, to me, I manage it like it's just like a stick and ball or football team. It's all about their people and having a good plan and letting their people do their jobs and not micromanaging them. And when you get the right people, it makes it fun.
We're going to go to Bob, and then we're going to go over to the far left, John.
Bob Hocker, CSPN, for both Brett and Scott. You're somewhat inconsistent throughout the year, but you end the season as the second, a third, and a back-to-back wins. Did you see that coming?
Yeah. I think it goes back to execution, and our inconsistency throughout the season was just, Kansas, we had a part failure where I feel like we could have won the race, and just weird shit like that happened where Dover, we qualified poorly, and we ended up freezing, wrecked us on the first lap, and we had a really good truck there. And I think our inconsistency was just due to poor execution and things happening. I feel like I said, everywhere but Kentucky, I feel like we had a race-winning truck. It was just whether or not we had things go our way and executed the race properly.
Yeah, I agree with Brett. We've gotten a couple of wrecks. We've had a couple of self-induced issues. Some my responsibility, some on Brett, some of us our communication.
I wrecked at Texas.
Wrecked at Texas. I didn't mean that. But we started off the race too free at Texas, and we wrecked. I felt confident that we could win. I felt like we should have won three or four more races that we gave away. But that's the way it goes. But to win six and then come down here and, last week we heard all the boo-hooing and whining about our engine, and they were afraid we were going to bring the Mark Cronquist TRD engine down here because it was going to be a joke. We came down here with the same engine they have, and we pretty much kicked their butt. So not being cocky about it, but that's just really what happened. We put our heads down and worked on our program, and Brett did everything he needed to do. The pit crew did everything they needed to do. The guys at the shop did everything. I mean, it was just kind of a perfect execution for the past two or three weeks preparing for this.
We're going to go to the far left corner to John Haverland.
John Heverland, ESPN Albuquerque. For Shiggy, and the question I'm going to ask, perhaps maybe you can kind of give a general consensus of what other owners think in the series. Just how effective has the Ilmor spec engine been this season, both from a performance standpoint and a financial standpoint for the team?
Who's that for? Me?
Shiggy.
Yeah. Could you say that one more time?
Yeah.
I didn't hear everything.
You need me to repeat the whole question?
No, what was the last part of it? I'm sorry.
About the spec engine.
How it helped the program or hurt the program?
Yeah. For both financial, performance.
No, I don't feel like there's any financial gain in the spec program. We don't really need to get into all that right now, but by the time you hire employees and you fix issues and you change your trucks and all that, at the end of the day, I don't know. I'm not an engine guy, so I hire an engine guy to build my engines. I'm not a gear guy, so I hire a gear guy to build my transmissions and in gears. I'm a fabricator, crew chief, chassis guy, so I hire people that do what I can't do. So I don't want to own engines and work on engines. And when you go to a spec engine, you own them, and you have to be responsible for them. You have to check your filters. You have to check your mileage. You have to take care of all those parts and pieces. When you don't own them and you just pay for a lease program, they drop one off, and they pick one up. And they send a guy with it to babysit it for the weekend. And you know that leasing company is going to give you everything they possibly can because they want to win. If they don't win, they won't lease any engines, right? So when you partner with Mark Cronquist at Joe Gibbs Racing Engines, you know you're going to get the best that he can provide you within that budget. And when you compare that budget to the budget of owning six of your own engines, I don't personally feel like there's any savings.
We'll stay over here to the far left to Christian.
Christian Culley, frontstretch.com and the Motorsports News Source. Brett, this question's for you. Tom kind of alluded to it earlier that you've become the first champion from the state of Iowa. Can you comment on winning Iowa the same year that you win the championship and being the first champion from Iowa?
Yeah, I mean, it just means a lot to me. I've had so many people from my home state support me in my career, and I've had a lot of sponsorship partners from there as well, and a lot of them were here tonight. And just the biggest thing was winning in Iowa on Father's Day was super special to me, or on Father's Day weekend. And bringing a championship back to Iowa is certainly something that's going to go a long way to be able to be the first person to do that. As far as I know, that's amazing. And I mean, it's just my home state has supported me so much throughout my career, and the people there, that I'm just glad that the major friends, family, and supporters from there were here tonight, and we're going to go drink beer with them shortly.
We'll stay to the left to Jacob, and then go to Dustin Long.
Jacob Seelman, Speed Sport. I've got a couple here. Shiggy, Chris alluded to it earlier about the Indy Lights win here 20 years ago, but the guy sitting to your left was also the driver who gave you your very first Truck Series start. What's it mean to be able to bring everything full circle with him tonight?
Well, a couple months ago I counted, okay, how many wins we did, and five truck wins today, six. And three K&N wins, but all this driver. I don't know. I think Brett and Scott, they have really good relationship. During the race, they're so calm. But normally, I put other driver, sometimes during the race, they're fighting, but then almost nothing, pretty quiet. But every time, boom. So same as myself and Brett, I think we're a good combination. And I don't know why, but yeah. definitely he's a good driver for me.
Brett, when Red Horse shut down and you were suddenly left without a ride, could you have ever pictured a year to follow like the one you've had this year?
No. You know, it was late in the off season that this deal came together, and I didn't know how many races it was going to be for, and fortunately we were able to go out there and win a race early and get everyone's minds thinking of what this year could be. And it took a lot of hard work, a lot of frustration, but in the end we prevailed. So I've been through a lot of ups and downs in my career. A lot of times I'm unemployed, and I'd say I've been through it enough times that now I'm going to save my money.
That's just getting old.
Yeah. 2015, I was rich. 2016, I was broke. So hopefully I'm a little smarter this go around.
Scott, refresh me. How long have you been with him?
With Brett?
Yeah.
Too long. The first time Brett and I did a race together, he drove an Xfinity car for me. I think it was 2011. 10 or 11 at Iowa.
How sweet is this for you tonight? For you two, everything that you guys have been through together to make this
happen.
Oh,
it's so sweet. It's so sweet. And then when Ben Kennedy left Red Horse, he was my driver on the 11. I lobbied for Brett to fill in there, and we had five races, and we were like fifth, fourth, second, or third, fourth, and then we won a race. So I don't know. I mean, I think of all the drivers I worked with, I can kind of read him a little bit better than some of the other ones, but it just works well. He does a great job. I think we're similar in certain ways. We don't waste a lot of time on stuff that doesn't mean anything. There's not a lot of extra words and what the truck's doing or what's going on. We're just, I don't know. It's just, it seems pretty much easier than other partnerships I've had. But it's, I guess, again, this is a team sport, and together, collectively, the group that we have together with Shiggy's ownership and all of his global partners that support us, and Mike Ricci running the operations and me handling the truck stuff and the, you know, the concrete end of it, and then my truck chief Tim Rice handling what he does. It's just a very it just works, and I don't know how to really explain it any better, but it's a system that works very well.
We'll go right here in the middle to Dustin, then we'll go over to Caleb.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Brett, when you were running the limited schedule 16-17, how afraid were you that the window of opportunity was closing on your career with the push for 18, 19, 20-year-olds, even though you weren't that much older than them?
I was never really worried about an age thing. It's more of the financial situation. Honestly, there's a lot of those young guys that are there because they have the backing, and it's frustrating as a driver who I feel like I've proven myself time and time again when I do get opportunities on a limited basis. On a fill-in basis, I feel like I've always performed to the expectations or above the equipment that I'm in. And so that was frustrating, but all in all, I mean, I've been put through a lot of stuff in my career, and it only makes me stronger as a driver and a competitor, where they don't necessarily learn those lessons, some of those guys. So I think when everything does work out, it's only going to make me better. Yeah. I can hear you.
At some point, some people might stop. So how does somebody like you keep coming back up after, in essence, kind of getting knocked down?
I mean, I've wanted to quit 100 times. I've been at some really low points in my career, and I let this consume my whole life. And I've been in some miserable spots in life, but my family and my father have always stuck behind me and taught me the lesson that it doesn't really matter what happens in life. If you keep working and you believe in yourself, it's going to happen. And they believe in me, and they give me the opportunity to keep bettering myself. So, it's just one of these days things are going to go my way and things are going to work out. And hopefully I'm a cup champion one day.
We'll go to the right over here to Caleb.
Yeah, Whistler KickingTires.net for anybody. You guys joined an elite group of drivers and teams as champions in NASCAR Camping World Truck Series competition. What advice would you give kind of your younger self, knowing that you're sitting up here as the champions in NASCAR?
Don't do it. it's a lot of sacrifice. I've been on the road for 30 years. I missed a lot of birthday parties, a lot of you name it, you miss it. But if you love it and it's your passion, go for it. Because if you want to, you have the philosophy is, well, if I want to be like a successful surgeon, I'm going to work like just as much as I work now, right? So what's the difference? But I guess when you're sitting up here and accomplish what we've accomplished with when the cards were stacked against us, it makes it worth it, you know.
Gentlemen, congratulations on your championship. We look forward to seeing you in Daytona.
Thank you.